So the first thing, in talking about joy, it's like, you know, what is joy? And so obviously I had to go to the dictionary to find out the dictionary's terms for joy, and they were abundant. So I have three of them, and I have the Greek word, the history of the word. So the dictionary's definition is: one, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. B, the expression or exhibition of such emotion. 2A, a state of happiness or felicity. In other words, bliss. 3, a source or cause of delight. And the root word, the Greek meaning of the word joy, comes from the word chara. And of course, I may be slaughtering the sound of it. Chara, C-H-A-R-A, which entails calm delight and exceedingly joyful. The Greek word for complete, and I'm using the word complete here because it seems as though joy and complete always go together. And so they label these two words together. So the Greek word for complete, which is plerou, P-L-E-R-O-O, is usually combined with the term for joy. It literally means to cram full a net, or figuratively, to satisfy, to fill up, to fulfill, or to supply. So usually these two words go together: complete joy, fullness of joy, joy in its fulfillment. So this is a little interactive aspect here, what the sources of joy. Now, I swore you were going to give the talk when you said that joy literally is, you know, it's just like what God is. And it absolutely is. It is an aspect of God. And so I thought like everything else was going to be surrounded in that, and I would just say amen. And I can still say amen to your song because it was delightful. But yes, joy is literally an aspect of God. But right now, with our quick interaction, we're talking about what are the sources of joy, which are like the manifestations or the effects of joy. And so if you want to just shoot some of the manifestations of joy out for me, we can interact with that for a little bit. What are some of the effects of joy in your own life?
Singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Yes.
Walking in nature.
Mm-hmm. Walking in nature. Effects
smiling.
Of joy. Smiling, yeah.
Laughter.
Laughter. All these are wonderful effects of joy.
How about flowers?
The most efficient way to be productive.
The most efficient way to be productive is joy.
Yep.
Food.
I drink to that. Well, one
food
of my...
with people who want to see you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Food eaten with people who want to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So one of my ways of exuding joy...
Woo!
This is this year's carnival costume that I went to Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm going to put it on because I can.
Gorgeous.
Wow.
And this is just the headrest, the headpiece. The headpiece for my entire costume, which of course I dare not show you guys what the rest of the costume looks like.
You didn't wear it?
I did wear it, but pictures speak 1,000 words.
Did it show a lot of joy?
It showed a lot of what?
Did it show a lot of joy?
It showed a lot of joy. Too much joy.
It showed a lot.
100 and pounds of joy. So I keep my joy on just because I like it, and I don't know where else I would wear it, and have full appreciation by my audience for it. That's why I love you guys, you study group. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So,
That's
true.
Yeah, wear it at work.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's use my glasses. So my glasses can't fit, so I'll take it off.
No, I just had a quick vision of when Dennis comes back to speak. Somebody said, the speaker should wear it, and I just had a quick vision of
it. Oh, Connie, you could pull it off.
He could pull it off. Did you imagine yourself in it yet?
Well, I sort of skipped over that.
You would look amazing in it.
You know, it looks like sunflowers.
It does.
So, have you made that?
It's actually a band of thousands of people were wearing. So maybe about 1,000 of us were in this exact thing. Wow. And so, could you just imagine seeing us on the streets of Port of Spain with, you know, exuberance and music and the same costume, and then another band had a different type of thing. So it's just amazing. And in one band, which we would call like about, our band was about 10,000 people.
Oh my God.
And then there are other bands, there are about 25 more bands that has more than 10,000 people.
Wow.
It takes 2 days on the road to parade everything. Mm-hmm. And so my group were mainly girls, and so we were just having tons of fun, really. It was way too much fun.
I'm just thinking of different aspects of that, of not only, well, being there or pictures of it up close and then backing off. You're saying that many people wearing stuff like that.
Yes.
Like distances.
Yes. And it's a judge thing, and we came second, so that's a good thing. Yeah.
Who came in first?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a seat, because once you're in that section, you just can't even leave to see what's going on anywhere else. Otherwise, you get lost. You would never know where your band would be going, and chaos. So you never leave. You always are guarded and guided. Okay. So we all agree that that joy is of that eternal source. There is only one, there is only God, there is only one spiritual source, which is whatever we would want to call it. We call it so many different names. We call it God, Jesus, Shiva, we call it Buddha, we call it whatever. But we also know that with these different names, people associate the exact same things, the source of what God is, which is love, which is peace, which is joy, which is abundance, knowledge, you know, all the qualities and aspects of God we can bring into it as that source. And so it's very important to remember, just as Zoe mentioned, that just as God is peace, just as God is love, God is joy. And just as God is always accessible, always present, everywhere, joy is present everywhere. Joy is always accessible. There is not a space or not a spot where joy is not. There is not a spot where love is not. There is not a spot where peace is not. All these are wonderful attributes of God, the one God that is. And so we just keep that in mind as we go along with my talk today. So the next point is finding your source of joy. Now, joy is usually defined as a lasting contentment or fulfillment in life. And again, as we talked about with the meaning of the word, the Greek word is it's absolute fulfillment of joy. And so the reason that joy is lasting is that obviously it comes from within. It is everywhere present. And so when you feel good, you truly experience God. When you feel the joyousness welling up within you, when you feel the well-being, you feel the ease, you feel the happiness, you know that it's an experience of God. It's like a conscious experience of God. And I think with joy, it is so much easier to go into that space, because it just exudes throughout the body. Some people kind of get it a little different, mixed up, when we talk about love or we talk about peace. But when we talk about joy, joy is just like, it's like universally understood. You know what joy is. You know how it feels. You know how it bubbles, like Judy and like Zoe said. It's just so within us, and it's hard to miss that it's joy. And guess what? That is God. That's God within us. So joy is not external. Joy is not a temporary thing. It is also not a temperamental. It does not decide when it's going to show up, because we had a beautiful concert last night and it was so joyful. And then we leave and then there is no joy. No, joy joy continues. It's absolutely, it's up to, I'm sorry, I probably didn't say that right. You know? It's there for us. It's not a conditional thing. It has no conditions on our possessions, what we have or don't have. Now, there's an effect to it. There's an ease and a peace about having the goodness and the good things, like David read, having the homes and the money and the stocks and the bonds. And all those are manifestations or effects that can come as a result of joyful living. But joy does not depend on our homes, or it doesn't depend on even what we may go through at any particular time, regardless of how beautiful it is or how sad it is. Joy is always there, always present. And so, you know, it's good having friends, it's good having beautiful circles that we can depend on and really feel joyous when we are with each other. But of course, again, you know, when we are without our friends, what happens? Does that joy leave us? No, it doesn't. We bring the joy into our own groups, into our own friendships. And so joy is there permanently, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not. It is the truth of this universe. Excuse me. So joy is like a fixture that is permanently attached in a building. It is there whether we need it or not. It is there whether we use it or not. The fact that the fixture is there gives us not only options to use it, but we have access to these fixtures at any time. And the fixtures I can think of is just basically bathroom right now. I don't know why I'm thinking about it. But we have the option to use whenever and to go whenever, and not use whenever. Okay.
So, electricity would work.
Electricity, yes. The question is, where do we find joy? Well, before I answer that question, I have another question. Has joy ever been lost? That is a question. And the answer is no. Just like life can never be lost, just like spirit can never be lost, just like the abundance of this universe can never be diminished, joy can never be lost. So we're really not searching for joy. We are not looking for joy. What we are literally doing, we are accessing joy. We are uncovering joy. And I was really glad to get the rain clouds, the heavy rain last night, because it truly made the point that we have blue skies continually. regardless of whether it's fluffy white clouds are just flitting by, or just little clumps of clouds, you know, just very stagnant, or the heavy rain clouds, the dark clouds, and the tornadic clouds. I mean, it just can get really, really terrible. However, these clouds, even if they're there and they're our present reality, really has nothing to do with the big bright blue sky behind it. So really and truly, the rains that that come as a result of the heavy clouds, they probably cause a lot of chaos, like they're doing right now, you know, in what area of the country would that be? Alabama?
Midwest.
Midwest? Please forgive me. So just as it's causing all this chaos, I mean, it's wonderful that we have the water, but it's very chaotic because of the destructiveness of the water, the floods. And so just like the rain clouds obscuring the blue skies for us, just like life and it's the realities that step in and obscure our the joy that we feel, obscure the happiness and the sunshininess of our day, it really doesn't take away from the fact that there is a beautiful, refreshing newness of life, blue skies behind it, refreshing clouds of refreshing blue skies of joy, refreshing blue skies of harmony, of peace, whatever we choose to say. And so obviously the dark clouds cause anxiety. So our key thing is to try not to be bogged down by the prospects of all these heavy dark clouds that literally obscure our vision, obscure our thoughts of joy. And so most people would agree that joy is obviously a matter of spirit. And so as we mentioned before, spirit can, you can really never harm spirit. It cannot, there is no way that we can, that spirit can be, what word can I find for that?
Diminish.
Thank you. You cannot in any way diminish spirit. And so, like the dark clouds which create sadness, there are effects in our life also which create happiness. And happiness and sadness are also just, it's just temporary effects. Happiness obviously is an effect of joy, and sadness is an effect of the obscurity of our joy. And so just remember, even in times when it seems as though the conditions we are experiencing, the reality of it looks like this gotta be it. This is the condition that I'm experiencing right now. I can't see anything beyond this. Just know that there is beauty, there is joy, there is peace, there is harmony, there is love behind any experience, any condition. And like the rain clouds, the dark rain clouds that come, they always go. There is always a time when it dissipates, when it disappears, and then you can see the beautiful, bright blue skies again. So that's just another thing to always remember, that regardless of what condition we are going through, that there is always a ray of hope behind our obscurity, or behind the conditions. And so the other point that comes to mind is you can find your spirit's joy, your spirit's source of joy. I'm sorry. How can I find my spirit's source of joy? And I'm going to read from The Science of Mind, which is my beautiful book here, page 47. And I'm quoting, "The mind must conceive before the creative energy can produce. We must supply the avenue through which it can work. It is ready and willing. It is nature to spring into being through our thoughts and actions. In an iron foundry, the pig iron is thrown into a great furnace and melted. That which was solid becomes liquid, and then poured into molds which are fashioned in different shapes. The iron itself never knows nor cares what particular form it takes. It is formless, ready to take any form supplied. If we did not place it in the proper molds, the liquid would assume no particular forms. Unquote. I'm going to quote again, and this is the same reading. The molds are made in our own subjective minds through conscious and specific thought, purpose, and direction. We should be very careful not to think that because we made the mold, we must create the substance. It already exists. It is a part of the life in which we live. It is a part of this universal energy. Unquote. So when we make our molds, and this is just a way of coming through our dark green clouds, how can we access joy? We access joy by focusing in on what we really want. And what we really want is our way of making our molds to put joy, to put peace, to put love, to put whatever quality of God we desire at that time that would emanate in our lives, giving us greater, richer, fuller spiritual experience. So your spirit, the eternal part of you, comes from that eternal creativity which is God. And that creativity is what literally makes the mold for you. So since your spirit and God's spirit is one, God's state of joy, God's state is literally in joy. And so I ask the question, what molds are you shaping? Is your mold a mold of success? Success on the job, maybe success in relationship, success in entrepreneurial venture adventures, success in music. What molds are you creating? And again, you create your molds by focusing. Remember, it's a subjective mind. It's all one. It's all God. It's already here. We have everything that we need to create what we would like to see in our experience. But it just takes a little bit of effort on our part to focus long enough on what we truly want, what we truly desire. So another dictionary meaning of joy was prospect of possessing what one desires. And I ask the question again, what prospects are you desiring? What prospects are you focused on right now that will reveal to you the fulfillment of joy in many marvelous ways? What prospects are you working on that will bring you good fortune or maintain your good fortune? So the fruits of joy is delight, is enjoyment, is gladness. And again, you can use any of these other adjectives to fit into what your idea of the fruits of joy is in your life. Now, because Connie had a little list of what joy was, I decided to have a little list myself, not too long. We get joy from receiving. Well-being is everywhere present, as we talked about, just like joy, and it is ours to have and to have abundantly. Mm-hmm. One usually thinks about joy, about the joy of giving to others, but the eternal universe desires that well-being be given to each of us as we evoke joy. Now, to evoke joy and to accept well-being, sometimes we do have to ask. We have to ask in order to receive. And receiving really is not about, I'm giving so I receive. Sometimes we don't even have to give, and we just know that well-being abounds and it's ours to receive, and we ask for it. And we open and we accept it with delight and with grace. You know, there is a part in the a scripture verse, and I'm not too versed in the Bible, but I tend to remember some verses in my growing up here. And there is a verse that talks about, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And I'm looking at Mary Rose here. They grow and thrive, and really, you know, we don't add one iota, which is we add very little to the beauty and the joy that these flowers present to us. They are just there as like just pure, perfect well-being poured out for us. And it's important to remember that even in the little flowers, that well-being abounds much more to our perfect humanity, our perfect human humanness. What more is it that, you know, how much more we can receive, how much more we can open to with awesome, beautiful, liquid well-being, liquid love. And so another quote was that, what child wanting a fish from his father or whatever, I think so. What child wanting a fish, the father would give a scorpion. And it's like, what with our asking, if we want absolute perfect well-being, would the eternal universe give us something less than? No. God gives us what we absolutely deserve, what we absolutely are, and we are well-being in all its beauty. And so just know that well-being abounds. It's everywhere present, just like joy. Just ask. And sometimes we may not know how to ask, and asking is literally just going within and saying, I want, show me, give me, and truly being open to accepting, to receiving. Ask for success. Ask for wisdom. Ask for creativity. Ask how to create. How to create my mold. How do I know what I want poured into my mold to bring out any particular experience? And trust me, the answers will come. Once you go within, because all the answers are there. We go within, the answers are available. We just have to be quiet. Or not. Sometimes the answers come with exuberance. Sometimes the answers come while speaking with another. We just have to be aware that we have asked, be aware that I'm in the receptive mode. The answers are going to be coming, or the answers are here. I just need to know how to open and receive them. So remember, do not think that we must create the substance. Just create the mold. And if we don't know how to create a mold is the experiences that will come to us. Ask for that. Ask to bring in the different experiences and fill it with whatever manifestation results we would like to have. And then there is joy from interaction. And as, again, we interact with each other so beautifully. And it's just a part of life. And if we can do this every day, then that's awesome. There is joy from a loving relationship. Jesus, who is the way sure, the mystic, he really understood what loving relationships was about. He truly understood love. And there is a quote from John 15, which says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Now God, obviously, Jesus, knows that it's all one. And even as he speaks of the Father, he speaks of the unity of humankind, the unity of the oneness throughout this universe. And he knew how to feel and to pull love from all aspects of life. He continued to say, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So love and joy obviously intermingles together. And with this joy, with this love, we absolutely know that loving relationships come from that. And then there's joy from trust, and this trust is generally the trust that you have as faith. You have the faith that things are going to happen in your life, and they absolutely do. And then there's joy from the guidelines, and as children we know that in growing up that there are guidelines that we follow that really keeps us very close to safety and keeps us close to doing the things that truly brings out the best in us. And again, there are guidelines like love one another the way I have loved you, or the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would like others do unto you. I understand that there's a platinum rule now. Have you all ever heard of the platinum rule? You heard that? I had to pull it up. The platinum rule is treat others the way they want to be treated. Check that out. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Now, I just wrote, took the comments of one person online, and I didn't give credit to him, but I didn't even write the name, so please forgive me. He said, "Aha, what a difference. The platinum rule accommodates the feelings of others. The focus of relationships. The focus of relationships shifts from this is what I want, so I'll give everyone the same thing, to let me first understand what they want and then I'll give it to them." How cool is that? What a wonderful guideline to understand another so you can best be in relationship with them. And again, more guidelines would be kind and be forbearing and be tender and be loving and be respectful. And, you know, these are guidelines that really truly create joy in our lives. And then in closing, we have joy from God's person. And I did just mention that a little bit. Joy from God's person, which would mean really we find joy within our own groups, within our communities, within our friends. We find joy at work, wherever we find joy. But there is a place we truly find joy, which is going within. Finding that time, whatever time you prefer, to just sit with yourself, sit with your inner being, sit with the realization that as I sit, I am in the presence of a powerful person. I'm in the presence of a powerful energy. I'm in the presence of myself. And so as I recognize the power and the presence within me, I go further in and recognize what it is that me, Gail, as an individual, need to do. What do I need to do to complete this project? What do I need to do in order to be more wise, to be more spiritually discerning, to be able to help another? And it's in this space, usually it's a quiet space, that you go within and determine and ask and open and receive from all that is, what it is that I can be in all my fullness of joy. And so the last one from Science of Mind, book 154, every day and every hour, and this is a quote, every day and every hour we are meeting the eternal realities of life. And in such degree as we cooperate with these eternal realities in love, in peace, in wisdom, and in joy, believing and receiving, we are automatically blessed. And my word is blissed. Oh. Our prayer is answered before it is uttered. In the greatest times of anxiety, look within for comfort to bring continuity to your state of joy. You can also look without, but is there truly a without? So by seeking out friends, we can look without by seeking our friends who can share in our grief, in our burdens, in our sadness, or who can just share in our journey of joy. So we can look without ourselves, meaning that, you know, the next human being next to us, knowing that they too have what exactly I am, knowing that my next door, Miss Felicia, she is absolutely the God and Goddess that I am. And Miss Zoe, knowing that you are eternally, you are an eternal being, and that each person, each one of us, as we think about our own selves, we know who we are, but we also depend on each other as a source of comfort and joy. And so, these are my words to you in closing. May your life from this point forward be completely overflowing with true joy, full of calm delight, full of prospects of possessing all you desire, full of success, full of friendship. And as you experience all these aspects of joy that God has created within you, my prayer for you today is that as you build your molds, that they are filled by whatever substance is necessary for complete and perfect manifestation of the good in our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. Namaste.
Oh.